Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Oilers back the other way with McDavid. McDavid in for Dreisaitl, mode of Nurse, and they score! Darnell Nurse gets the winner for the Oilers.
Yeah, here for a good time, not a long time. It took 17 seconds to get the OT winner tonight. And despite that OT loss, the Maple Leafs going an impressive 6-1-2 against the Oilers this season, picking up 14 of a possible 18 points. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. Sam McKee and Andrew Holland along for the ride as well. Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca will drop by in mere moments. We'll hear from Sheldon Keefe as well. A rather entertaining game, I think. Certainly, you look at the Maple Leafs crease, which we'll talk about over the next hour or so going forward. I expected the worst. I think Hutchinson was okay. Maybe I wanted, you know, a couple of those goals back, Gord, but I think they're happy to come away with this 6-1-2 record against Edmonton this season.
Yeah, Nick, when Eric Smith said there's no good news, they did get a point, so they get the overtime point that way. So that's a little bit of a positive news, and it is a pretty staggering record when you look at it against the arch rival right now, Edmonton Oilers in your own division. You have that kind of record, and I agree with you. I think unfortunately we just have kind of slipped back to, if Michael Hutchinson's starting, it's not anything Maple Leaf fans have faith in, even though he had a couple of games earlier in one of the games to Edmonton that you thought he kind of got out of that rut. And you're right. I thought tonight he played well enough. And I thought, and we're kind of texting each other back and forth, and that when the Leafs got those two goals, I thought, oh man, this is going to be that 8-7 game we've been thinking of. And it didn't quite happen that way, but it certainly wasn't dull.
You're right on that front. So again, the season series is done. The Maple Leafs now prep themselves for a 4-game road trip, and a crucial one at that, into Winnipeg for two, into Calgary for two. Gord, you know, before we bring in Luke, what's your feeling or level of concern, we'll call it, on what we're hearing in terms of verbiage about the goaltending? I don't know where I feel like, where I'm probably lukewarm on the idea of potentially going after somebody at this point.
You know, I make that drive up Highway 48 when the kids went to camp or friends have cottages there, and they have that kind of they have that color coded sort of fire status, whatever, you know, just yellow, green, whatever on the side. It's just a simple thing. Somebody could easily just move it to one color or another. I don't really know what the colors mean, but it's I've gone up a color. I don't know how many colors I have.
Yeah.
I've gone up a color. Maybe I've gone up two colors. Like when Mikko Lehtonen got traded to Columbus for a goaltender, you know, that, you know, was kind of a goaltender just to kind of make it quid pro quo. I didn't expect him to see him in a Leaf jersey as the backup tonight. So I'm, you know, really, again, it goes back to the whole thing. It's a much bigger story about the inability to develop goaltenders from within. And all of a sudden you run out, and you know, you should always have at least one that's kind of there that you want to give a try. So anyway, Jack Campbell, everything was great the other night, you think, and he's got something nagging. Freddie Anderson now seems to be out for a bit, and there's injuries, Nick, we've talked about it, and there's goaltender's injuries. I mean, there's just some things that really get nagging and take a long time to come around. So my concern has gone up a notch or two.
Yeah, I'm probably almost at the lockdown stage. I'm in like the gray, which Toronto has been in for about a year. And I think you're right, Kasimir Kaskasuo, we loved him on the show, to another Finn and Vinny Vevelainen backing up tonight. Yes, the one they picked up in the Mikko Lehtonen trade, another Finn, as we bring in Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. Luke, before we get to this game, I'll ask you the same question I asked Gord. What's your level of concern when it comes to A, the trade deadline, and B, potentially having to go out there and pick up a goalie?
Oh, I'd say medium to high. I think it's very concerning, the fact that, you know, Jack Campbell wins a game and then he can't practice and then he can't even back up, and they're hopeful that he's ready for the next one. Like, this is still lingering. And the other thing is Freddie Anderson. We've been asking Sheldon Keefe for a clear update for, I don't know, 10 days now, and he doesn't have one. Every time it's like, well, you know, we don't really have an update for you. That's pretty concerning, considering Anderson's your number one goalie, and he's not even skating. You know, we know it's a re-aggravated lower body injury. There's whispers that it's a knee, but it's the fact that they haven't said, you know, he's out for this amount of time and he's progressing well, those types of things, that gets my concern up. Now, I guess if it is something long-term and they can figure out that it's long-term, then you can use this cap space to go and get a goalie. But the sense I get is they're hopeful that he'll be okay and Jack will be okay. But you guys know that in order to make a serious run in the playoffs, you don't need one healthy goalie. You need two.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, I mean, the upside that way is they do have a couple of weeks till the trade deadline. And it's just, okay, so we saw Jack Campbell earlier in the year get hurt and then finish a game, and it was a great, you know, post-game presser how he valiantly finished the game, and then he's hurt. And we got Freddie. Something's gone a little south there, in my opinion. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but when he brought up that he was hurt, and it seemed to me he was pissed that he had to play that Ottawa game when Hutchinson got hurt, or something was really kind of amiss there about him still being in the mix and not being 100%. So in that case, Luke, I like that he's getting better, because, you know, whatever it was, great. But yeah, to your point, like, you know, it's getting a little serious now. So I don't know, you know, we saw what Montreal did with Eric Staal, that you can give up something. You're getting to the point of the year where there's only like one quarter of the salary or so left. Maybe the team can retain half if you're going to do it that way. So I guess maybe that's the upside, but that I never thought they'd have to look at a goaltender, but now I'm thinking differently, just for depth reasons and just to be sure. You cannot have these two guys, and Hutchinson played okay tonight, but you can't have these two guys as your goaltenders in the playoffs for a team that expects to go where the Maple Leafs expect to go.
No, absolutely. You're right, Gord. And it's almost as if the team, you know, you never want to criticize a strong defensive performance, because they absolutely had one here tonight. You know, they really did a number on the McDavid-Draisaitl line, you know, discounting overtime where, you know, time and space is it's a bit of a free-for-all. But I thought defensively the guys really did a good job. And you start to think about it and you wonder if they up their defensive game because they don't trust Hutch. You know, he's just a little bit shakier, right, than Campbell and definitely Anderson. Like, just his posture and some of the rebounds and some of the scrambling moves. And it's not a knock on the guy. He's a tweener, right? He's a good AHL goalie. He's an emergency NHL goalie, but he's not a guy you want to rest your Stanley Cup hopes on. And the team being all in and every other facet of this year, like, when are you going to pick up guys like Galchenyuk and re-sign a veteran like Jason Spezza and get these kind of nice, cheap contributions? Like, goaltending is the most important position in the sport. They got to go in with a sense of confidence between the pipes.
Yeah, and I would say at this point, it is what it is. And we're with Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, breaking down a 3-2 OT loss. Darnell Nurse is league-leading 12th of the season from the back end, the winner. He's having an outstanding campaign. But overall, I'd love to put your teacher hat on and give a grade level for this season series against Edmonton, 6-1-2. And I put up the numbers on Twitter as well. Connor McDavid had 3 goals and 10 points in 9 games, and Leon Draisaitl had 5 goals and 11 points in 9 games. Not too shabby, if you ask me.
I think it's fantastic. I think that's the best defensive performances have come against the Oilers. And, you know, Jake Muzzin was kind of talking about it. I think it was yesterday, kind of thing. You know, they take it as like a personal challenge. Like, he was kind of asked, how come, you know, the defensive commitment, not just from, you know, the shutdown pairing, but all the pairings and the forwards. Like, the forwards did a great job getting back and back checking and have 5 guys in the defensive zone. And I think they take this as a challenge. Like, you know, they see the leaderboard. They know McDavid and Draisaitl are, you know, arguably the 2 best offensive players in the world. And I think they take that as a challenge and gear up for it. So I think that's really promising, because it's like when it means something, they can bring a really strong defensive game. And you know, I think if they get the goaltending Edmonton did, you know, I thought Mike Smith played well, then I think they probably get the win. And Edmonton got some rare contributions from some depth players in Archibald and Turris tonight, which they don't often get. Usually if you're able to shut down the two big guns, you win the game. So I'd give it an A. You know, if you were to tell any fan that you're going to go against McDavid and Draisaitl, you're going to win six of them and get a couple more points in OT, I think Leaf fans would take that.
So it's kind of like the old days. You wonder, will they play Edmonton in the playoffs in this unique season? And will it be, hopefully, not a repeat of what the Leafs did for so many years to the Ottawa Senators, right? That they got dominated by Ottawa, and then they killed them in the playoffs. Because right now, this looks quite good about, you know, to me, it's Edmonton and Winnipeg are the two arch rivals to get out of this division. The next test will be able to do what you did in the regular season in the playoffs if you face Edmonton again.
No, absolutely. And I don't want to go back to our older conversation or the beginning of the conversation, but I think that's when you definitely want strength between the pipes, because I think forward-wise, I like the Leafs depth. I actually think, you know, they didn't get a goal, but I thought the John Tavares line had another really strong night. I thought the captain was very engaged. I thought Nylander was engaged. Galchenyuk continues to shine in a very small sample size. So, you know, I think if you can shut down the two big guys, I like the Leafs' chances. I like how the Leafs match up against the Oilers. And interestingly, after the game, Keith said that, you know, it's Winnipeg that has the deepest forward group, excluding his own, of course, in the division. So I think we're in for a real good test. I mean, I just saw the Jets just took the lead over the Flames. So if Winnipeg can hang on and win this game, they'll pull within a point of the Leafs. And I think so the rest of this week's games will be really interesting. And I think it'll serve Toronto well, the fact that Winnipeg is breathing down their neck here. And it'll, you know, put a little more juice in the contest as well. Because I know for a fact, you know, Toronto really has placed an emphasis on not just making the playoffs, but having the number one seed and you know, acting like they're the alpha dog in this country.
And a huge part of that series, no doubt, with Winnipeg would be goaltending. And Connor Hellebuyck, the last little while, has been locked in. And we all know what's going on in Toronto's crease. Wrapping up last couple here with Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. To me, and I started saying this last game, I thought the zip was back and Austin Matthews is looking for a shot a bit more. He scores again tonight, you know, top shelf. We've seen that time and time again, but I think that's clearly a positive development that Austin Matthews and the wrist could be feeling much better. Would you agree?
Yeah, an absolute zinger. His goal tonight and his reaction after, like he looked like the guy that, okay, I think it's back. And there was a couple more that, you know, didn't hit the net, but it had the usual pep on it. And he's back to his normal spot on the power play, which is another issue. 0-for-19 stretch here. But I think fans should be encouraged by the way he's shooting the puck and how often he's shooting the puck. Sometimes it wasn't even that he had a weak shot. It was that he would be in one of his normal prime positions where he would normally rip it, and instead he was looking for passes, and he hasn't done that the last couple games, so I think that's a positive sign.
All right, Luca, we'll leave it at that, and we'll touch base later this week. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You as well. It's Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca helping to break down this 3-2 OT loss to the Edmonton Oilers, and I tell you, Gord, I don't know if I was ready just yet, but I think I'm ready to include Darnell Nurse in a Norris conversation. The closeout in the first period on Hyman was impressive, but he's just been an absolute beast this year. We all forget Oscar Klefbom's out for the year.
Yeah, he just had surgery a week or two ago, and yeah. I'm sure there were good reasons. They were trying different things before they had surgery, so he's going to be out, yeah, this season, and who knows when he can start next year, and he was their other best guy. You're right about that. You're right about that. He was in Nurse's case, a guy that's brought it to the next level and something, I mean, Edmonton has just been sorely lacking. I mean, that's why they gave up a big price to get Adam Larson from New Jersey, making that the trade for Taylor Hall that way. So certainly you're seeing it now with Nurse. And in OT, good on the Leafs. They came down. It's predictable, but the Leafs did get a great offensive chance going the one way and going the other way. Bang, it was pretty quick. But he leads the all defensemen right now with goals.
It's pretty incredible to me that all that pandemonium, and I think OT lasts like, what, 17 seconds, just shows you how quickly, and they had the ISO cam of McDavid, how quickly he came back to back check and then came the other way to set up Nurse for the OT winner. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Rotostelic turning point, which is becoming a fixture on these airwaves the last little while. Without a shadow of a doubt, and how many times has it been a turning point? Ilya Mikheyev unable to score on the 2-on-0. Great save by Mike Smith, but they got to call in a shrink or something at this point, Gordo.
Well, I think we learned that he's best to do it off his body, not his stick, right? You know, he seems to be that way. Yeah. Oh, man, the Michael Grebner syndrome, unfortunately,
yes,
just more and more. And, you know, this would have been a perfect time for him to put it in. Man, we're getting to, okay, it's fine that you're getting all the breaks, but, you know, you got to start finishing some of these off to get to the next level. And you keep believing he will. He's still a young player, but then after a while, you don't want to put him in the Jimmy Vesey category or what, can't finish. But tonight, I don't know, maybe take 1-on-0, 2-on-0 practices, or I'm sure he does all that, but just not being able to finish has been kind of been his mantra, unfortunately.
I never want to say never, but I don't think I can include him in that conversation with, say, like a VC, because I think Mikheyev, and it's often not talked about, I think he's pretty dialed in defensively. Again, and Luke said it, I really, really am pleased with the way this team played in 9 games against Connor McDavid and Drysdale. Considering what those two have been averaging throughout this season, pretty much 2 points per game, to limit them to like a point per game, I think you got to be happy with that. Obviously, they're going to be a bit tighter with Michael Hutchinson playing a lot of those games, but I think to come out of this season series the way they did with a 6-1-2 record is clearly a positive. But certainly as you look forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs, we both agree this is going to be a playoff team. Clearly, you need guys like Mikheyev to score those goals. How many times do we see in the postseason it's the grinder type goals that put you over the top, Gordo?
Yeah, and by the way, let's remind everybody, Michael Hutchinson serves a really important purpose in all seriousness, yeah, for the Toronto Maple Leafs, in that he is signed for next year and he is the goaltender they can they need to expose for Seattle. That's a big thing, you know,
yes,
him agreeing. So it's a big thing that way. You also mentioned the two-way hockey, and Austin Matthews made a huge defensive play, probably saved a sure goal the way he played defensively. But in the playoffs, it's I think of the Gary Volk goal all those years ago, or, you know, whatever it,
yes,
may be. You those are the kind of guys that I look back at. The St. Louis Blues is such a great example, because I kind of compare them, the Leafs, more to them, to say the Washington Capitals or Tampa Bay Lightning right now. And just over 16 games, all these different players that, you know, Cal Gunnarsson was one of those, the former,
yeah,
Leaf that came up with a big goal that made a difference in those kind of games. And you're going to need those players to get those big goals in regulation time or overtime.
Well, it's funny you bring up that point, because I like that you bring up St. Louis, because I think the biggest thing I noticed about that team and why they won the Cup was the depth, right? And certainly I think when you look even at a potential matchup with every team in this North Division, I would even include the Winnipeg Jets, who are closer. I think Toronto's got the depth advantage. I mean, the ability and the luxury to have guys like Wayne Simmonds and Joe Thornton, and Jason Spezza has played excellent on the fourth line, and guys like Hyman on the third line. I think you want to pose a threat every time there's a line out there, right? Not just the top six. And I think, you know, clearly you're going to be led by your big boys. But when guys like that can chip in from time to time, that's why I think it's crucial that Mikheyev start banging a couple of these in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And this year, when you get out of your division, you're going to run into depth issues, but you're not, yep, playing the Tampa Bay Lightning until round 3 this time. So that's one of the things I agree. I think, and that's one thing I like, that Sheldon Keefe keeps moving guys in and out of the lineup. Craig Berube did that in the playoffs. Like St. Louis, there was just kind of that sixth sense that there were about, you know, I don't know, like 5 forwards that took turns for 3 spots, and he just seemed to play a perfect symphony that way, and that is a Leaf advantage in the Scotia North Division.
Now, we always like to promote, Gord, before we go to the break, and again, Sheldon Keefe is still coming. We'll go inside the locker room, or I guess to the Zoom podium, for more on this 3-2 OT loss. I know optimism is building in this market. You see it on Twitter right now. Galchenyuk is trending. We'll say the last game and a half. I thought tonight they were all over the ice, and you talk about depth. I think this is an encouraging development. You know, I'm going to pump the brakes a tad because it's very, very early on, but I like how engaged they are, how tenacious they are. The back check, the forecheck, they could have something to this trio, right?
Well, they really can, yeah. And I'm agreeing with the sense that You've made probably a trade deadline pickup already in Galchenyuk. And okay, he's not killing. He's not like the top six player that you're coming over with great statistics and pedigree that way. But yeah, it's great to watch, and he's got, you know, a number of regular season games to go, and this could be exactly that kind of player you're talking about earlier that, you know, they did not have before, and was a difference maker, is a difference maker in the playoffs, as opposed to, again, the Columbus bubble is the fear about a malaise where nobody stepped forward. You know, just some of the big, very big guns did, but beyond that, nobody did, and that cannot be repeated.
Well, that, and you run into a hot goalie. And I think the Leafs were a victim of that, you know, to an extent tonight. I think Mike Smith made some excellent saves. And in general, I think Toronto did a pretty good job of cocooning themselves in front of Michael Hutchinson, clearly. But you need those type of saves, right? Not to micromanage and analyze too much Michael Hutchinson's night 3-on-23. But I would say the OT winner, you'd love to stop, Gord. I know it's tough on a 2-on-1. McDavid passes more than he shoots. We know that. And the first one, I know it was a breakaway, but just the way he looked tentative on the breakaway was alarming. But again, this is what you're going to get when you have Michael Hutchinson in there, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the Archibald Gold, you know, just
yes.
Historically, you never criticize goaltenders on breakaways. They're sure goals, but things have changed now. They're held up to a higher standards that they're expected somewhere to stop a goal that should have gone in. And, you know, we saw that on the other side more so of late, and Mike Smith included, with the Edmonton Oilers. You know, it's just if people are wondering, by the way, that as well, and you with the Toronto Marlies right now, you got Andrew D'Agostini, right? And he's a nice story. He just turned 28, but played in Peterborough, then went to University of Guelph afterwards, and then basically played with the Brampton Beast, and, you know, has come up. He's not killing it. His stats aren't great in the American Hockey League. A Scarborough kid, so it's a nice story that way. But in case you're wondering, I don't know if Joseph Wall's been hurt or not or whatever it's been, but he's not really impressed. He's the one draft guy they have there. So again, when you go to it after Hutchinson. I know when you talk about the Boston Bruins, they got a few guys that they're big on behind Rask and Halak, you know, and you know, just the Leafs should have that one guy, the Nick Robertson in goal somewhere that you're saying, you know, put me in, coach. Let's see what the kid can do, even if he's not ready. So just if people are wondering, you know, what the depth is right now, that's what it is. That's the guy who's had the bulk of the game for the Toronto Marlies so far.
I guess you're not believing in Vinny Vevalainen, who came over in the Mikko Lehtinen trade, and something I've been pitching the last couple of days, and who knows if they're interested in Taylor Hall, maybe a package Taylor Hall and Carter Hutton, the veteran. Like, I think that's a perfect type of guy that you'd want to bring into this setting. That's not going to cost you a lot. I think Buffalo would be more than happy to eat some money because no player on that roster has any value, I think, at this point in time. But I think it's that type of guy. Like, ultimately, if they do make a deal, it's, you know, a Bernier if he's healthy coming back, or even a Devin Dubnyk out in San Jose, right?
Nick, I agree with you, but also I know we'll do that at the out of town scores later. That hurt me to watch that Buffalo game. Like, they had a 3-0 lead over the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers came back. The Sabres had a great chance at an empty net of 3-2. Yeah. Flyers tie it. Flyers win in overtime. You can say, yeah, okay, great. You get the point, but you got this streak that could. It's on the verge of being the all-time worst losing streak in NHL history. But to get back to it, yeah, they got to be open for anything. And Eric Staal showed that even though he had a limited no trade clause, he waived it to go to Montreal. So anybody would do that in a heartbeat in Buffalo right now. I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Absolutely sad. And again, we'll get to the out-of-town scoreboard, as you mentioned. We'll hit the break for now. Still to come, Sheldon Keefe. We'll hear from Austin Matthews and others after this 3-2 OT loss to the Edmonton Oilers at Scotiabank Arena. Darnell Nurse, the OT winner. The Maple Leafs now hit the road for 4 in a row, starting with Winnipeg on Wednesday night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
The puck is still free. Matthews comes out of the corner and scores! Austin Matthews with a bullet to the roof of the net, and the Leafs lead 2-1.
Hell yeah, a little provolone for Austin Matthews. The wrist seems to be feeling better. Back-to-back games with a goal now, albeit in a loss. A 3-2 OT loss here to the Edmonton Oilers. Darnell Nurse, the Hamilton native, the OT winner. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick breaking it down, excuse me, on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. And clearly, Gord, that's, you know, a huge development for this team, that Austin Matthews is shooting the puck the way he can. And again, I thought that line was good in this game. I thought, especially in the first period, I should say, they tapered off in the second half of the game. But again, the second line looked really good as well.
Well, and he missed a glorious chance early because he just fired a little bit high, but at least he was firing it. It's probably the first time that we're not, you know, doing the over speculation about his wrist. It seemed to be back on track. And you're right. You know, I just, I'm just reading, you know, social media world, and one tweet just saying, thought the Oilers played better the other night, but the Leafs won. Thought the Leafs played better tonight, but the Oilers won in overtime. That's a pretty fair look at it. They're both pretty good games. They're both were going at it, but it was nice to see. Again, want to see the power play click. Nice to see the big guns click. Kept thinking we're going to get one of those games with seven goals for. That part wasn't quite tonight.
And you're right on the power play. 0 for the last 18 in the last 8 games. The Maple Leafs fall to 22-10-3 on this season. But again, the underlying record here in this season series with Edmonton, 6-1-2, 14 of 18 points. Here is Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon, first of all, talk about how Hutchinson played tonight.
I thought he played well. He did his job. Did his job for us. Kept us, kept them at 2 goals. You know, when we kept keeping the 2 goals, you know, through regulation, that's enough for you to be able to win a game. And we just, you know, we couldn't get that third goal that we needed.
And a follow-up, heading into Winnipeg, how big was the last 2 games you played in terms of going in there and trying to protect that first seed?
I think, you know, at different times in the games that we played against Edmonton this season, I think really have been the model of what we're capable of as a team. I think in these last 2 games against Edmonton here, we haven't done it quite, you know, for 3 periods. I thought both games, the second periods were issues for us tonight again here. I thought that second period really wore us down tonight. Didn't have a whole lot of legs after that. But certainly the way that we focused in and defended, I thought we did a good job here again tonight, you know, against their best people. Obviously, that's important. I mean, you're going up against the, you know, the deepest opponent, and we're going to, you know, that we face in our division in terms of their forward lines and the depth that they have. So we've got to have that level of focus, you know, every shift. So I think that's something for us to take away for sure, but we've shown what we're capable of.
Next up, we'll go to Chris Johnson, Sportsnet. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Sheldon, just wondering what you liked defensively when it was going well against their top guys tonight.
Well, I just thought we didn't give them very much room. I thought the neutral zone was real tough for them. I thought we forced them to dump a lot of pucks, forced them to play a lot on the forecheck, which is, you know, that's obviously they could do that too, but that's takes away a lot of the strength of their game, which is playing on the rush or playing in transition and playing with the puck on their stick. So I thought we did a really good job of that throughout. And, you know, for the most part, the Matthews line had that matchup, but I didn't want to disrupt our flow too much with it. So we had other lines. I think each of our other lines really had some time against them, and everybody did a good job.
We'll go to Jonas Siegel, The Athletic. Go ahead, Jonas.
Hey, Sheldon, is there something in particular you appreciate in regards to the job Jake and Justin do against those top guys?
Yeah, they, I mean, they defend them well. They got good sticks. They play them hard. I think they really get excited about the chance to play against them. And, yeah, certainly there's a lot to be said for the job those guys do. Like, you know, Riley and Brody also, you know, get tasked with that at times. You need more than just one pair, because they play so much, and just the nature of the game, line changes and such. But then I also think, you know, it's difficult to just have the D worried about it. If you allow their best people to play in isolation and play in one-on-one situations too much, it's a real challenge. So I just like that our forwards insulated the defense and helped everybody out really well.
Next up, we'll go to David Alter of the Hockey News. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Sheldon. Just wondering if you have an update on Campbell and Anderson as you guys depart for the road trip here.
No update on Anderson here yet. I'll let you guys know when I have that, when we have a little more clarity with it. Campbell, you know, I think works, you know, we're expecting with another day here today, you know, that he should be okay for us to play next game.
And last one here, we'll go to Kevin McGran, Toronto Star. Go ahead, Kevin.
Sheldon, how do you sort of bottle what it is you do against the Oilers and bring it forward the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, I think we do what we've done. We just talk about it, show it. Obviously, we've got, not in every game that we played them this season, not on every shift. When we played them against our best guys, have we done the job we want to do? And when you don't do it, you look real bad, real quick. And that in itself kind of shocks the system and gets you dialed in and focused on it. And I think the last time we played Winnipeg, it was pretty similar, you know, that the talent and the skill level that they have. If you aren't good shift to shift, if you break your structure, if you turn the puck over in bad spots, their transition is as good as anybody. And it's not, you know, it's not just one line. It's two lines of high-end skill and a third line that is as good a checking and grinding line, and right now maybe is playing as their best line. So it's great challenge there. So I think should be easy for us in terms of level of respect we have for the opponent to bring us the same level of focus, you know, but same time we still got to look to get better too. I mean, you know, it's two games against them we failed to win in regulation, so no, that's not going to cut it.
Okay, there you have it. There is a Sheldon Keefe following this 3-2 OT loss to the Edmonton Oilers. What did you take out of that post-game media availability?
And he's going to be very careful, you know, about praising Michael Hutchinson, and he should. He did a good enough job tonight in that, and I think, all in all, just talking about a team that's played Edmonton real well during the course of the season, and again, like we talked to Luke Fox about the whole Campbell and Freddie Ander, the mystery. It's like an old Hardy Boy or Nancy Drew mystery. Those books for decades ago that kids would read. It just kind of drags on a little bit that way. It's interesting tonight about goaltending, and you got Carter Hart flat out not on the Flyer bench. He's going to take a couple of games just to try to, I mean, Alain Vigneault's basically challenged him, the guy a lot of people thought might be a goaltender for Team Canada for in the Olympics. And then Tristan Jarry playing well for Pittsburgh. He has to leave after the first period today. So, and Pittsburgh wins that game against the Islanders. So just the whole value of goaltenders. And these are two other ones in the Eastern Conference. They're not in the Maple Leafs division, but man, oh man, you cannot have big goaltending questions, whether it's ability wise or health wise, heading in the playoffs. I think Leaf fans had so many years not being in the playoffs, but knowing what ordinary goaltending's like.
You're right, and it really has been that type of season. I know I keep putting out the numbers on Pittsburgh and their record since Brian Burke and Hextall came in, 18-6-1, but they talk about goaltending, Tristan Jarry going down tonight and Casey DeSmith and all that. So, you know, that's the fascination for me going forward is the deadline, right? And teams who are looking and have goalies, are they going to go, right? Because there needs to – you need to have a market materialize. And at this point in time, it seems like there are a couple guys who could go. So we'll see on that front as we inch closer to April 12th. Meantime, Gord, as we talked about, Auston Matthews back-to-back games with a goal. Very Matthews-like the way he finished tonight's goal as opposed to the OT winner the other night, eh?
You know, but it's almost like that's the one that needed to break him out of his funk, right? Was something, yeah, where it's not the shot you're wired, it's the fortuitous double bounces. And again, great defensive play tonight. Like, that's one part he's really worked on every year, the two-way part of his game. But he wires one in, and just before that he'd wired one that just missed in true Auston Matthews style.
Absolute monster is Auston Matthews, up to 23 goals on the season. Let's hear what he had to say post-game.
What did you think you guys did well to limit McDavid, Draisaitl, that line a little bit more tonight?
I think just trying to close in on them quick and early and try to limit their time and space, be physical on them. But, obviously they're elite players. So, they're going to find a way to make plays and to create offense. I think for the most part, we did obviously a really good job on them. But like I said, they're elite players and they typically find ways.
We'll go to Kevin McGran, Toronto Star. Go ahead, Kevin.
Overall, Austin, the games against the Oilers really seem to bring out the best in the Toronto Maple Leafs. What are your thoughts on having gotten to play them for nine times? Well, obviously, you missed a couple, but the team got to play them for nine times and just the energy of those games each and every time.
Yeah, I think we're both really teams that like to play fast and like to play with the puck. And, you know, I thought for the most part throughout this year, we've been, played pretty solid against them. And, it would have been really nice to get this this extra point here tonight. Obviously, because we're not seeing them again and until maybe playoffs or something like that. So this one kind of stings, but I think all in all, so far this year, I thought we played pretty well.
Thank you.
And last one here, we'll go to Terry Koshan, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Terry.
Austin, how do you take forward now the overall good defensive play against the Oilers, do you think? You're not going to see them again for the rest of the regular season, but how can you apply it in the rest of the games for you guys?
I think we just need to stay above the puck and track hard like we were throughout the night. And, no matter what line's out there, limiting their time and space and making sure that guys are coming back in the D zone and helping out and just all five guys in sync. I think, against this team, especially because of, the two guys that are so dangerous over there, it was a really big point of emphasis for us. And I think we got to take that and obviously carry that over into everybody that we play and have the same urgency on both sides of the puck.
All right, there's the man they call Poppy on Next Generation Night, Gordo, and Austin Matthews doing his thing tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with our Next Generation names next year, Nick, when they have this game. Last year, that was
the
game.
Well, I asked Steve Dangle to do the show tonight, and he said no. So,
well, last year was that afternoon game against Carolina where they were up 3-0 and then were down and then back and forth just around Christmas time. So quite often they've been crazy games. But, you mentioned earlier the Leafs did a really good job against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but you gave their statistics earlier. They still had pretty good stats despite the Leafs being 6-1-2 in the nine games. I mean, it just shows even in losing, they're about all they have. But I don't know if Austin's buddy Morgan Rielly when that Connor McDavid end to end goal and making him look like a matador just going by him is ever gonna be eradicated. But certainly a season like this was much better. And I just think a good sign for this team playing this team like that and getting that many kind of, they're kind of the Boston Bruin equivalent or Tampa Bay Lightning equivalent in your division this year. And the Leafs never really had good luck against either of those teams. Bruins, they did regular season, but that would be snuffed in the playoffs. So I think this is a bit like this is a kind of a confidence booster, if maybe that's the right term for it.
Yeah, I think you're right on that front. And, before the world shut down, I actually saw a matador in action. The last time I want to see a matador in Pamplona at the running of the bulls in Spain. It's gruesome. We'll leave it at that. But I did think it just shows you how great these players are, that they get a point per game and we're feeling pretty good about life. And certainly the Leafs should feel positive that their season series is done with these guys. They don't have to see them until the playoffs, perhaps. But the fact that they go 6-1-2, 14 of 18 points, I think is really, really crucial. As we hear now from a netminder who played tonight for the Maple Leafs, they've used all three, I believe, against Edmonton throughout this nine-game season series. Here is Michael Hutchinson.
Michael, after the way your last start went, I'm sure you're eager to get back in and get maybe a little redemption. How did you feel about your game tonight?
I felt pretty good. I felt like I got better as the game went on. The first period we played really well and didn't give up too much. For myself, that was nice to see the guys buzzing around in the offensive zone as much as they did. And then just as the game went on, I just felt more and more comfortable. It was nice to get back out there.
Did your result against them the last time you saw them give you a boost of confidence, factor in it all coming into this one?
It's nice to know you can play against them and kind of have a feel for their speed and what they like to do offensively with the puck. I think that just helps with any team that you play multiple times, and the way the divisions are this year, you really get a feel for what a team brings every single night. But that these guys have offensive tools, and you just have to be aware every time they're on the ice.
Next up, we'll go to Lance Hornby, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Lance.
Hutch, you obviously have a shot maybe at getting into the games in Winnipeg as well. How does it feel to come back in and maybe have a say in protecting the first place seed and having a bigger role down the stretch?
you know, it's kind of been our mindset as a, you know, a goal unit this year is just kind of the next man up mentality and just, you know, coming in there and trying to give the team confidence and give them a chance to win every single night. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Freddie, Soupy or myself, you know, going in there, you know, our job's the same and, you know, just try and give the guys confidence that, you know, we're back there and we have their back.
Thank you.
And last one here, we'll go to Kevin McGrann, Toronto Star. Go ahead.
Pardon me, Michael. I'm trying to phrase this exactly correctly because I don't have game sheets in front of me. But for two games, you faced McDavid and Draisaitl, and neither scored on you. How does that feel? Is that bragging rights for a goal?
Yeah, I didn't even know that. You know, McDavid, obviously, you got the game-winning assist tonight on a nice pass across. So, you know, that one stings right now. But, you know, that's something, you know, maybe at the end of the year you'll look back on. And, you know, I think it's, you know, a pretty good feat. But right now, you know, our team's focus and my focus right now is, you know, just, you know, keep on improving and keep playing our game and just trying to help the team win.
Okay, there is Michael Hutchinson and Gord. I know they said Jack Campbell will start Wednesday, but I'll believe it when I see it, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking back now. I know we're going to break in that, but I'm trying to look back at a goaltender trade that impacted a team in the playoffs. 2006, Dwayne Roloson, really, you know, it cost Edmonton a first-round pick, but they got him from the Minnesota Wild, and, you know, he really did a fabulous job taking them deep, to say the least. And I don't think the Leafs are there yet, to say the least, but, yeah, we're like we said, our color-coding levels of concern, and that's with all due respect to Michael Hutchinson playing, you know, good enough tonight, but have certainly been heightened.
Yeah, I think they want to look at this point in time for a stopgap guy. And certainly, I think right when you brought that up, I thought of Ben Bishop and that three-headed monster they tried to create in LA's crease a couple of years back, namely with Quick and Bishop, right? But there's not really a true goalie out there that's, you know, going to flip the pendulum. I think you have to win with either Hutchinson or Campbell in the playoffs, but you need somebody to get you there first, right?
Well, yeah, you do. And then again, Freddie's the big mystery. And maybe hopefully we'll get some clarity, and hopefully there is clarity. Hopefully they're really getting healthy. This isn't the infamous, I always think of the Dominic Hasek groin that the Ottawa Senators waited a lifetime not to heal after the Olympics way back when.
Well, one way or another, they would like some clarity for sure between now and the deadline, because that's the ultimate X factor. Freddie has to go on LTIR. That opens up more space and they can do a bit more come the deadline. But again, a lot to happen between now and April 12th. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll take our final break of the night. Other side, we'll tee up Wednesday. The first of four on the road, two against the Winnipeg Jets. And we'll also look at the out-of-town scoreboard. But again, the Buffalo Sabres are just continuing to be the laughing stock of the NHL. They were so close to snapping a 17-game skid, but not meant to be on this night. At the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick on Twitter. This is Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, time to wrap up Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, following a 3-2 OT loss. Darnell Nurse, the winner, the Hamilton native for the Edmonton Oilers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, the season series complete now with Edmonton 6-1-2, 14 of 18 points here for the Maple Leafs. Gord, we look now at the out-of-town scoreboard. No doubt the biggest story on this hockey night is the Buffalo Sabres were up 3-0 against Philadelphia. They had lost 17 in a row. And yes, they blew it and lose it in overtime on a goal from Ivan Provorov 42 seconds in for the Flyers.
Yeah, 3-0 after two periods of play. And yeah, the Flyers come back and tie it at 3-2. The Sabres had a glorious chance for an empty netter, of course. You know what happens when that doesn't go in. Comes back the other way. Flyers win in overtime. We mentioned earlier Carter Hart not playing tonight or the next game against Buffalo. Just want to get his act together, says Alain Vigneault. So, man, that was a tough one for Buffalo. The losing streak continues. And, you know, Pittsburgh 2-1 winners over the New York Islanders. Matt Martin gets his sixth of the season for the Islanders. The Sabres can use his scoring prowess, you know?
You're right. And Matt Martin's playing on the power play, but I guess it just speaks volumes, especially with that Anders Lee, that the Islanders will take the offense wherever they can get it. A 2-1 loss. And again, Pittsburgh 18-6-1 in this new regime with Brian Burke and Ron Hextall. And again, a prevailing story after one, Tristan Jarry getting hurt. They called it after the game. Don't know the extent just yet, but Casey DeSmith coming in. So maybe Pittsburgh's another team that is in need of a goalie between now and the deadline. Happening right now, Minnesota up 2-1 on the Sharks after one. Calgary down to Winnipeg 3-1 midway through the second. LA trailing Vegas 2-1. Tomas Nosek just scoring for the Golden Knights late in the second. And Kale McCarr's putting on a show. It's 5-2 Colorado against Anaheim late in the third period, Gord.
Yeah, Mikko Rantanen is 20th. He's up there in the Rocket Richard talk. Leafs going to take on Winnipeg next. It seems like the big three are the Leafs, the Oilers, and the Jets right now in the Scotia North.
And looking forward to seeing the Montreal Canadiens return to the ice tomorrow night as well. I think when push comes to shove, they could be involved in the convo at the end of the season as well. A lot of hockey ahead against the Maple Leafs and them picking up Jordan Staal, who could make his debut next week against the Maple Leafs. But as Gord alluded to, coming up on Wednesday, it's Leafs Nation pregame starting at 6:30 on Sportsnet Radio Network, the Maple Leafs visiting the Winnipeg Jets. Many thanks to Luke Fox, Sam McKee, Andrew Holland, and Gord Stelick. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much for listening.